Hey, it's Aaron Foley. It's Sports Without Balls. I mean, because you hit play. We're on episode 58. We're recording from Austin, Texas. I'm here performing at Kep City the entire weekend, and we're in the belly of the beast of Texas, and I couldn't be more excited to welcome this guest. She's a stand-up comic. She is doing the shows with me all weekend. She's fantastic. She's my new friend in comedy. Oh. Local Texan. She hails from San Antonio. She lives in Austin. Miss Avery Moore.
Hello.
Welcome. This is always the awkward beginning.
Yeah.
But we're going to make it super smooth.
Let's talk about sports.
All right. So I met you a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
You've been in Austin now a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
And you hail from San Antonio.
I sure do.
How are you digging Austin v. San Antonio? We'll do a little life update and then we'll get into sports.
I love it. Austin's definitely a really great place to tell jokes. And
nice.
The people are wonderful and the audiences are great. And there are just multitudes of opportunities here, festivals, all sorts of stuff.
So many festivals.
Lots of festivals.
Every 20 seconds.
Comedy festivals.
And
too.
Comedy festivals.
Yeah, it's great.
I've done the Moon Tower Comedy Festival a couple times.
Wonderful.
Super dreamy. And Cap City is always such a good time. And what's really fun is that when I travel, I like to get a real litmus test of, by the way, we're in the green room of the comedy club. So
mm-hmm.
if there's a lot of random sounds in the background, they're setting up for the big show that we have to put on in about an hour. So that's what's going on in the background. But it's super fun to travel and get like a real sense of like sports culture.
Yeah.
In the state, in this particular city. And Austin's kind of unique because, you know, it doesn't have like a, you know, obviously a professional team, but it has University of Texas
Iconic
Longhorns.
College football town.
I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. We are about 20 minutes. This will air, you know, days after the game. So, but we are in a particularly interesting situation because we have an 8 o'clock show
mm-hmm.
and the Longhorns kick off in about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
We might have five people
in
the crowd.
It's a sea of green and burnt orange
today. Yeah. So, you know, we're going to go pretty deep into San Antonio world, but let's just talk about, because it's the kickoff of college football.
Mm-hmm.
And have you now adopted the Longhorns, or have you been, like, a fan?
Yeah. When you're a kid, in Texas, you're an Aggies fan or a Longhorns fan.
Okay, that's the rivalry,
that's
right?
That's the rivalry.
Is that Texas A&M?
That's A&M.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
My family, we were always Longhorn fans, even though my mom went to North Texas and my dad went to some college in Arkansas or something.
This is so Friday Night Lights. I love it.
Yeah. So, but we've always loved Austin and come up to visit, and, you know, it's really accessible and you can watch games and no one wants to drive to Bryan, Texas. So,
yeah. No one. I don't even know where that is. Is that the home of Texas A&M?
Yeah, College Station.
College Station. Mind you, yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, Texas A&M played for the first time. And it's like Johnny Football who? I mean, they beat South Carolina, you know, 60-2 or something
mm-hmm.
ridiculous. And that new quarterback, who I should probably know since I just just said his name and then I've already lost it. Carol's actually with me, Sports Without Balls fans. She's in Austin, Texas. She's at the game.
Oh.
I gave her the night off and I said, go to the game and mingle and try to get Vince Young's autograph. I'm sorry that I don't know the Texas A&M quarterback. Yeah, he's new. I believe it's like Moore. Maybe not. I'm kidding. That's your last name. But yeah, so that they kicked off their season very well. There seems to be a general excitement around UT this year. It's a new coach,
mm-hmm.
Kind of new everything. And the Vince Young is pretty funny because, you know, he didn't have like the greatest NFL career.
Yeah,
and
he's
now
just here to watch. And hang out.
Yeah. And now it feels like a couple days ago, the University of Texas announced he's going to be maybe working in some capacity with the Longhorns. And I was joking on stage last night that he needed the money. He needed some cash. Because he is broke.
Oh, man.
It's bad. It's not a good, like, Vince Young ending to anything.
Yeah.
But it feels like this renewed spirit. And so does it, like, is it really take over the town? Like, it seems like it does.
Oh, it does. For instance, this morning, some friends and I went to have, like, breakfast. I don't call it brunch, even though it happened at 2.
Okay. Still breakfast.
It's 2 o'clock breakfast. And there's no such thing as brunch. And we went, and it took us maybe 30 minutes to get down South Congress, which is the main drag that leads to.
Oh, yeah, I know Congress. Yeah, yeah, it leads to the stadium.
The state capital.
Oh, the capital. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Right to campus. And it was just a sea of green and orange, and everyone's just walking, and no one knows where they are. And a lot of those people don't – they come in for the games.
Right.
They're UT fans, so just it's just this
craziness.
Swarm. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard a lot of stories from the locals that I've been asking that it's like – first of all, two people had a discussion after the show about the color burnt orange.
Yeah.
Which was, I thought was hilarious. They were like, literally like, I just wish it was like a lighter shade, but it's like burnt, but it's fine. I was just like, oh my God, like they're so deep into like Texas football that it's like burnt. And the cutest thing is, these two women came to my show on Wednesday, our show on Wednesday, and, they stopped by the comedy club, and they gave me a little gift basket.
I saw that.
It was the sweetest thing ever. And I got a Texas softball shirt.
Aww.
I mean, that's about the funniest thing on the planet.
So
now it's good for my future lady sports cave. I have a burnt orange Texas Longhorn softball shirt.
That rules.
I mean, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. And
so all right. So traffic is insane. Have you been to any of these games?
Yeah. I mean, when I was a kid, I did.
Yeah.
Since I've lived here, I haven't.
Yeah.
But it's. You can hear it from miles away.
Yeah.
You can hear the stadium from miles away. We lived in a neighborhood right across from the stadium, and like off Manor Road, if anyone knows where that is. But as you get closer, you can hear the roar and almost feel it. And
that's
then when
so
the
exciting.
Game's let out, it's 2 hours of like, how am I going to get around?
Yeah, it's just chaos.
Yeah.
You have to kind of just like sit. And I think later tonight, I'm going to try to get into the Belly of the Beast.
Yeah.
Maybe. And it's cool, right? Because the stadium is right in the middle of campus. Isn't it like right on campus?
It's almost in the center of town.
That's awesome.
Much.
Yeah, because I passed it the other day. I'm like, oh my God, it looks fantastic.
Yeah.
I do like that, you know, I went to like a small private liberal arts college, and we had like a decent enough football team. But, you know, I think when you go to a college that is not doesn't have huge sports teams, especially college football, it seems like you really get into it when you go to a university that, like a University of Texas, where it's the whole thing.
Yeah.
But it does seem like there's something so elevated about the state of Texas in football.
Yeah.
Like,
it's religion here.
Like, crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of, you know, obviously I got a little indoctrination because I was, you know, I went pretty deep with the Friday Night Lights.
Yeah.
And I just loved everything about it. I couldn't stop
filmed
watching
right
it.
Filmed right here in Austin, Texas.
That's why I think it's like I sort of was like in love a little bit with Austin before I came here like 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, I love the people and the food trucks and the drinking and the
yeah.
and everyone's talking about football. And then, like, you know, kind of to be here at UT on game day is pretty exciting.
Yeah.
I actually recorded a friend of mine's podcast earlier, and we went through part of the town where – yeah, I saw some of it, like, just locked and loaded, and people were just going berserk.
Yeah.
And that was about 8 hours before the game.
Mm-hmm.
I love that shit.
Yeah.
It's fun, like, when people just get so excited and berserk about a college football game.
But there was a great – it looked like there's a bunch of overpasses with walking bridges to get to campus from the east side of the highway. And you could just see – it looked like a pattern because the two groups weren't mixing. So it was like 15 people wearing green shirts, 30 people wearing orange
shirts.
Wait,
what's the green?
I don't know who they're playing.
Okay. It's the – yeah, honestly, yeah. Like I literally have to look that up because I was so like concentrated.
It's like Kelly Green.
But okay.
It's just this
– maybe it's like a Baylor or something.
Yeah, maybe.
I'll look it up right now because Carol's at the game. I can't believe I gave her the night off. It's unbelievable. It's North Texas Mean Green playing Texas tonight. What is North Texas Mean Green?
Is that University of North Texas?
It must be.
I guess it's some weird, I have.
But Mean Green, North Texas Mean Green, that must be like their motto, Mean Green.
Yeah, it must be.
That's hilarious.
I thought it was like an eagle or something. My mom went there and I don't even know.
Wait, your mom went to North Texas?
My cousin teaches there right now.
Your cousin teaches there. Your mom went
there.
Well, we have to at some point figure out what North Texas Mean Green is.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. It's like a Texas rivalry.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it's not like an entire Texas rivalry. But still, when you play, I just, there's something so, like, kind of romantic and nostalgic and just something about Texas football.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty spectacular. And we're going to get a live report from Carol at about 20 minutes. She'll be absolutely shit-faced with the entire team. All right, so San Antonio. Let's talk about San Antonio.
Yes.
What I do like, and I was talking to these dudes earlier today, one was our friend Mac, who's a comedian, and his friend David, and they do a podcast. And David's from Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I asked you this
David
earlier.
McCreary?
Maybe. I actually don't think I got his last name. But he's from Houston, and he was talking to me about Houston sports, and Mac is from San Antonio.
Yes.
And I was saying, like, okay, so Spurs. We'll start with the Spurs. But then, like, my overall question, too, was, like, if you don't have, like, you know, San Antonio doesn't have, you know, a football team.
Yeah.
So do you, is it something like where half of San Antonio is split, like, Dallas and Houston?
Oh, yeah, you adopt a team, and it's going to be the Texans or, you know, the Cowboys.
Is it kind of, like, split, or is it?
I guess it's also, San Antonio is a melting pot. There's people from all over the country, just like Austin.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people represent a lot of different teams. But I'd say, like, the Cowboys have their training camp at the Alamo Dome.
Oh, no way. I didn't know that.
So they...
So it's probably more Cowboy fans.
Yeah. A lot of Cowboy fans.
Have you ever been to, like, a preseason thing there?
Yeah. You go in, you just watch them throw the ball around, sit in the seat, and get a soda. Yeah.
And your dad, you're saying your dad and your brother
my
are big-time Cowboy fans?
My brother, he turns into a different person. Like, he's full of rage or joy or, you know.
Yeah,
it's
I get
polar
it.
Opposites, and he's crying, and he's screaming, and he's cursing, and yeah.
And the Cowboys are so frustrating.
Yeah. Well, if the team wins, I'll text my dad and my brother just to get their reactions and see what they have to say. So it's either like, I can cuss, right?
You know? Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's either like, you know, hey, Tanner, Cowboys lost. And I'd be like, fuck you! With like all capital letters. Or my dad will be like, I know, honey. I know. We'll get them next time. He's like, I'm sad too. It's all right, baby.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Dad.
That's awesome.
But my brother's like, gosh, shut up.
It is sports. Like, there's so much rage and passion.
Yeah.
I want to tell this quick. I forgot. I want to tell this really quick Longhorn story. And then we're going to talk about San Antonio. And you'll appreciate this. I think I said it on stage last night. Maybe, I don't know, I can remember. When I was like a little kid, like I grew up with two sisters that are like super girly, you know? And we had back to school shopping. And this is why I have a little sentimentality for the Texas Longhorns. I was also saying, as you grew up as a New Yorker, you just hate everything Texas. Texas, I'm sure, is like, we hate New York. And then I grew up a New York Giant fan, so you're like trained to hate the Cowboys, you know? And so... But I knew about the, like, I've always loved, like, the Hook'em Horns, Texas Longhorn. I don't know. I've always liked a little bit. So we're going back to school shopping. Usually I hide in the sports store with my dad. But I was like, all right, my mom's going to kill me if I don't bring back, you know, some sort of clothing. So we go in and we're shopping around and I pick up the sweater. It's like a baby blue sweater.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got the Texas Longhorns, you know, logo on it. And I was like, I can totally wear this. It's like Texas Longhorns. This is awesome. I don't know why it was baby blue, but I was like, it's okay. It doesn't matter. It's not the burnt orange, but we're going to do it. And I was so excited. I remember being like, oh, wow. Like, my mom's going to be super happy because I actually picked out something I could wear instead of, like, you know, 75 jerseys, where she'd be like, put it back immediately. And it's got, you know, it's sporty and cool and fantastic. And so I bring it back and I'm so excited and I show my sisters. I was like, look at this. It's like this great sweater with the Texas Longhorn. And Tara goes, my older sister goes, Erin, that's Gloria Vanderbilt. And I was like, oh my God. And they were just like looking at me with this
like
disgust. Like Gloria.
The rap dress lady, right?
Yes.
See, that is, yeah.
Like, I guess she's been like a designer forever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Gloria. Like, how I didn't. I mean, that's got to be like what? That's like a quintessential moment in your life where you're like, oh, yeah. It's still like complete and utter fashion is lost on me anyway.
It's Von Fostenberg. That's the rap dress lady.
Never
mind.
Wow. How you pulled that out is amazing.
Someone's going to email, it's Von Fostenberg.
I think actually anyone that listens to the podcast probably would have no idea what you're talking about.
I think the rap dress lady is actually.
I think, Erin, I'm just going to fact check that one thing. The rap dress lady is not Gloria Vanderbilt. Yeah. So that was my, so I've had this little sort of, you know, connection. And now that I love Austin, I'm like, I'm going deep. I'm yeah. I'm going to adopt you.
That's a very sweet story.
I'm adopting it. Yeah. Were you like a fashion mecca growing up? Were you like a lady that likes to shop?
No. I lived out in the, we lived in the country, like north of San Antonio for a long time. So I wore river sandals and cotton shorts and t-shirts until I was like 13 years old.
I love
old.
That you just said river sandals.
Yeah, like Tevas. What's,
oh, okay. Yeah. Because I was like, what's well, a down, river down sandal?
Down here, Aaron. Like,
down
oh,
here in the
sandals.
Texas, we take them real you seriously.
You can't go in there without shoes, you know. so that's what I wore.
Yeah.
And then I adopted like Hawaiian shirts because I wanted to look like Weird Al.
No. So, wow. So
that was that. And then I realized that I should probably start dressing like a normal
lady?
Person. A lady.
Wait, you wore Hawaiian shorts because you wanted to dress like Weird Al?
Well, Hawaiian shirts and, yeah. you know, my friend Zach and Marcus and I, Marcus is a musician now and Zach's a comic up in New York. And we all had checkered Vans.
Oh, my God.
And we would
awesome.
Wear, like, goofy shirts. And we thought we were so funny and
that's
so
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, you probably were.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. San Antonio.
Yes.
Now, you have a deep, deep love for the Spurs.
For the Spurs.
And that's been since birth?
It's,
Well, you know,
yeah,
since you started watching.
If you don't love the Spurs and you're from San Antonio, then you're just contrary. Like, there's
oh,
nothing.
Oh, okay. You, like, you've heard it here first,
there's
people.
There's something wrong with you and you're a hater. And you need to go back to where your parents are from.
Wow.
Go back
Avery,
to Dallas.
Just laying down the law. For Spurs
yeah,
Nation.
It's the Spurs Nation.
Yeah. So you and so you've been watching them quite a while. Now these mm-hmm. these last 2 years were a roller coaster.
Oh, very emotional.
And I want you to tell the story that you were started telling me the other night about the well, you can tell anything
oh, yeah.
you want, but the you know, we'll get to the David Robinson thing that you just mentioned, but the Dallas.
Oh, when I was alone in Dallas.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's game 6 like 2012 when we lost the series. And or that was the turning point. And I was alone in a hotel in Dallas, like drunk. I'd had like
who
six.
Who were they playing in 2012?
It was Dallas.
Oh, it was Dallas.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Okay.
I had had six Fireman Fours. Like I drank a whole six pack because I was alone in Dallas. And I ate a whole bag of Smart Pop.
Nice.
And the guy I was working with, I was working for some costume company. And the guy next door in the hotel room, like, literally knocked on the door and was like, Avery, are you okay? Because I guess he could hear me like, no! And I did
so
one of those like silent.
So you're watching the game alone.
Yeah, alone.
Okay.
I cried. I did that yeah. silent scream thing where you're
yes.
like beating the bed and trying not to wake up everyone in the hotel. And the
nice.
Next day I walk in and I'm at the store in Dallas and everyone's like, sorry, Avery. And I was like,
don't
even yeah. talk to me right now.
And you, all right, so that series, I remember that series.
It was so sad.
And that was like the Dirk Nowitzki, like Jason Terry.
Yeah, and he's great. Dirk's great.
Dirk's
you can't
great.
Hate on him.
You can't hate on Dirk. But yeah, that, and I remember too, I'm not going to lie, I hate to say this face to face, but I was cheering for Dallas. For a couple different reasons. I wanted Dirk. San Antonio had already won, you know, a bunch. And I wanted Dirk to get that championship, mm-hmm. you know. And, you know, it was kind of like the, you know, not being from Texas, it was kind of the lesser of two evils, you know. Mm-hmm. I wasn't. Now I have changed my tune, as my podcast listeners will know, that I am a big, you know, I'm a Knicks fan, right? So that's my team. But huge appreciation and many love for the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah.
So I've come a long way with the Spurs, but that series, I remember cheering for Dallas because I was just all about like Dirk and I loved Jason Kidd and Terry
yeah.
and that whole team. But there's something so horrible, like as a sports fan, like when you're in a visiting city.
Yeah.
I remember you saying like you didn't want to go in public because everyone was going to be.
I didn't want to go in public
because
you know I was. It's not, you know, and I'm like we were talking about a couple days ago. You're not going to walk in decked out in
yeah.
your Spurs gear. It's like, hey, everybody, beat me up. Like,
yeah, yeah.
But it affects you. The, you know, the shit talking. And,
oh,
like,
it's
I was
awful.
Just gonna.
Yeah.
I felt like I would feel worse than I would just sitting alone in
yeah.
a hotel room.
Oh my God, for
yeah.
sure. I don't like people always ask me the like, you know, do you go to because I'm, you know, a crazy sports fan. do you go to, like, sports bars? They're like, oh, you must be in and out of sports. And I never go to sports bars.
I hate sports bars.
I just, the only time I can go to a sports bar is if it's two teams I don't care about.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, and I haven't seen someone in a while or something.
Yeah.
But it's rarely two teams I don't care about. Like, I'm always kind of pulling for one, or if it's a championship, I have some real strong opinions, and yeah. I'm really rooting for one team. So there's something to be said, like, you want to be in an environment that's, like, super supportive, like, everyone's
nurturing,
on the same page.
And everyone feels good, yeah.
Yeah.
And Austin is, it's hard to watch the Spurs here because we have our, like, you know, we have our small group of fans in Austin, but people are from all over.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe there's 10 people at the bar. Like, this season, I would go to this one bar called The Grackle with a fellow comic, Caroline Bassett, who's a diehard fan as well.
Yeah.
We go almost every game. And if
she's
no one
fantastic.
Came, she's awesome. If no one came, I was alone. And I just, you know, tweet out any old San Antonio friends.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Want to come keep me company because yeah. everyone's screaming right now. I'm all alone. So it's hard to find a, you know, a place to watch the Spurs
yeah.
here. But this year, like the championship game, the winning game, I was at a place called Haymaker, and everyone was crying, and everyone was on the Spurs side, and it was like people were hugging and
so
high-fiving,
great.
And like I just, you know, it was so, so great.
Yeah, and it was such an interesting series because in 2013, I kind of started cheering for San Antonio just based on the fact that I hated the Heat.
Yeah.
Then I realized by game 7, I adored the San Antonio team.
Yeah.
I liked everything about this team. And new listeners, because old listeners are like, yeah, Erin, we've heard you talk about San Antonio before. But I was not a Tim Duncan fan ever,
ugh,
ever.
No, that
and
hurts
now,
my heart.
No, I know, and
Timmy.
I take it all back.
I get a 21 like tattooed on my face or something.
Yeah. And now it's inconceivable to me that I never liked him because he played harder than anyone, both teams combined, and his just absolute love and passion for the game. I was like, oh, he's got me. Like,
yeah.
I am huge Tim Duncan everything.
Yeah. He's not verbose, and he's not showy. Well, the Spurs aren't showy. I guess
yeah.
maybe Tony is sometimes, but.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I also
but
just
he's
think
Tony
he,
Parker.
Yeah. I mean,
he can do what he wants.
I mean, with that accent.
Yeah.
I've never seen, like, a guard go to the house, go to the hoop. And you're like, no way.
What
is he going to make?
Happen?
Like, no, like, what? He's up against like 17 men.
He does these little like magical moves.
Yeah.
He's like, wait, what? No, no. And then he just goes underneath someone. Like,
it's total contortionist.
Flies in the air.
Yeah.
How did you do that?
It's always just like, wait, how did he get that? Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
He's so fun to watch. It's
yeah.
unbelievable. I think these last couple years, has kind of renewed my love and faith in the NBA. I was
mm-hmm.
like a big
it's
NBA
so exciting.
Fan, and then I just kind of lost it. You know, one of the reasons too is because I was in, you know, when you're in your home city in New York for so long and you get all your teams, it's so great, you know? Then I moved out to LA, and no fault of Los Angeles. You know, it's all these teams in LA that I have no connection towards.
Mm-hmm.
Not only no connection towards, and I've softened with, you know, the Dodgers and the Clippers a little bit. And the Sparks, my lady Sparks. But again, you just, like, you hate everything about LA. Because
yeah.
I moved from New York to New England, and everyone was crazy Boston, everything. And then you're really like, LA is the enemy.
Yeah.
You know? More so than Texas. Like,
yeah.
No one gives a shit
San
about
Antonio
Texas.
Hates the Lakers, too.
Right?
Yeah.
I think everyone hates the Lakers
yeah.
except your diehard, you know, great Laker fans.
Mm-hmm.
Which I, you know, appreciate they're not my team. But, yeah, so, you know, then you're in the city, and, you know, I don't watch, like, every NBA game. I watched, you know, a lot of the Knicks when I was there because it was on the TV, you know? So then I just kind of, like, it just felt like everyone was just, like, overpaid and no defense. And I have such a love of college hoops.
Yeah.
Like, I love college basketball so much. But I think these last couple of years with the Spurs and even with Dallas, I have to say, the Dallas-Miami was such a pleasure to watch because
yeah.
Dallas won that I kind of – And then I'd watch the playoffs, like, and NBA playoffs are fantastic.
Oh,
so fantastic.
Ooh,
I know. Right? Like,
I can't wait.
Yeah. And so you watch a lot of the regular season as well.
Yeah, I try to watch every game. I have the just because.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have my Spurs app on my phone, so
love
I can listen
it.
To WAI Sports Radio in San Antonio and listen to the game when I'm driving around town from show to show or,
That's
you know,
so
whatever.
Great. That's so awesome.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. I like – what I absolutely love is these apps that let you listen to your home announcers.
Oh,
like,
I
I'm obsessed.
It. I local commercials.
Yeah.
Yes. HEB commercials. All the time.
Like, it's so
Red
fun.
McCombs. Like, car dealership.
Yeah, it's such a slice of home when you're away from home, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, it's like full tilt baseball season right now. And, you know, I'm from New York. I'm not going to apologize that I'm a lifelong Yankee fan, even though everybody hates them. But me and the rest of the New Yorkers. But when I go on, I have, like, the computer package. And it's like MLB.TV, and I watch, you know, too many games. But to hear the sweet, sweet voices of Michael Kay on TV, and then I do a lot of radio.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I'm driving, I'll pop it in my ear, and it's, you know, Susan Waldman and John Wentland. And it feels like I'm in New York. It feels home. It's
nice.
So great. The options we have now for watching sports not in our home cities is so fantastic.
That's great.
It probably must take you back, like, to old. And is your brother and dad, like, big San Antonio?
Oh, yeah. We watched a lot of the games, but the actual, the game winning, the final game of this last season, I was with my brother at his house.
In San Antonio?
Was it Father's Day? Wasn't it Father's Day?
Could have been.
It was something.
Yeah.
But we went to San Antonio, and then we decided, are we going to stay in San Antonio and watch the Spurs win tonight?
Yeah.
Or and be stuck here until 4 a.m. because the city shuts down when they win. So are we going to be stuck in San Antonio until 4 a.m. and call into work? And everyone that we work for is going to know.
Yes, exactly.
Know exactly why we're not there.
Yeah, yeah.
Or are we going to drive back to Austin as fast as we can and watch the game at his house? So we did that.
Oh, okay.
And
oh, your brother lives here.
Yeah, my brother.
Okay.
Lives here.
That's
awesome.
That's so fantastic.
And I mean, it was just like we didn't care about Father's Day. We're like, Dad, I love you so much. Later.
Just like, we gotta get out of here.
We gotta go.
So when San Antonio is playing in San Antonio, it's like, because really that's it, right? For professional sports, it's just
Well,
Spurs.
We have the Scorpions. We have a soccer team now.
Oh, you have a Scorpions.
Yeah, and then we have
I didn't know
the
that
missions.
MLS mm-hmm. Major League Soccer. Oh, wow.
I think so. I don't know.
We have
We have a farm team. We have the Missions. So we have baseball.
Oh, who's it the farm team for?
I'm not sure.
The Missions. Either. I got to write this down.
Missions.
The Scorpios and the Missions.
Those games are so fun. I caught a foul ball when I was a kid and got a tiny bat. I won a tiny bat, and I kept it under my bed.
Wait, back up.
Yeah.
Take us. I'm obsessed with getting a foul ball.
Yeah.
Wait.
I caught a
foul
ball.
So you went, growing up, you went to, was it AAA, AA?
I don't know baseball that well.
No problem.
But the tickets are $10.
So great.
And it's like, hey, what are we doing? Like, we're with Dad for the weekend. Let's go
see
a baseball game. So we would go with my dad and his friends all the time. And I can't remember who it was, but it was one of my dad's friends. And he, like, held me up and helped me catch a foul ball in my glove because I was in a softball team when I was a little kid for, like, 2 seasons, and I was like, I can't do this. I couldn't play soccer or anything. Like, I played golf in middle school.
Oh my god,
that's
awesome. That's
the only sport I enjoyed playing. Now I love to play sports, but it's because I don't hate exercise anymore.
Okay, that's perfect. We'll cover that.
Yeah, but I caught the foul ball, and then you know, you turn, you don't, you go and you show them, and they give you, like, a bat or a hat or something.
So you get a prize
get
after
a prize
getting
a
prize?
Yeah, if you're a kid, you get, like, this prize for catching the foul ball. Like, we went into the gift shop, and they're like, you won! Like, you caught the foul ball. Like, what do you want? And they have these, like, little prizes for kids, and I picked this tiny bat. And I would keep it under my bed because I was afraid of, like, demons and ghosts. And I would, like, say all of my Hail Marys before I went to bed to ward them off. So
with your tiny little childhood bat. I will get you, demon, with my mini bat.
I will say 10 Hail Marys and go to bed.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's so great. It's just so – it's like, you know – That's like ordering cake and they're like, we're also going to give you a pound of ice cream on top.
Yeah,
like,
it was so awesome.
To catch a foul ball.
Yeah.
You know, and then you get a prize for catching a foul ball.
It could have also been my dad's friend just being like, give it a bat. Yeah. Like she deserves a bat.
Oh my God. Give it a bat or break your effing arm. Oh my God. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I have to share with you my dad's foul ball story. I don't think I've ever said it on this podcast, although 57 episodes in, which isn't a lot in podcasting world when you go down and you do a Friends episode and it's like episode 460 and you're like, what? please forgive me if I told the story before, but I don't think so. My dad, like lifelong Brooklyn Dodgers fan, right? Mm-hmm. Grew up in Brooklyn, New York. Went to every single game you could possibly go to for like a nickel, right? Mm-hmm. He'd go to batting practice. Like his whole world was the Brooklyn Dodgers. And never caught a foul ball ever, right? And it obviously, you know, that would bother me my whole life, as it did him, because he's an insane baseball fan. So the Brooklyn Dodgers move out of Brooklyn to Los Angeles, and my dad just gave up baseball, as mm-hmm. most people did. Like some people became Mets fans, you know, and he just was like, no. And then, like super charmingly enough, he faked being a Yankee fan my entire life. I thought he was a Yankee fan. I think I've said this before. Aww. But now they retired to Florida and they've watched every single Tampa Bay Rays game in like 9 years or something.
Yeah.
They've been doing this. And we had this come to Jesus moment where I was like, wait a minute. You don't, what are you talking about? You don't like the Yankees. And he's like, I never liked the Yankees. I go, Dad, we watched 7 million Yankee games. Well, he's like, well, I watched him because you liked him. And I was like, I'm going to cry. I was like, I have to get off this phone because I'm going to be showing a lot of emotions in front of my Irish father, who doesn't show any emotions. Well, that's not true. He gets some teary eyes. So when we moved to New England, we moved to Rhode Island when I was in seventh grade and my dad was still in sales. So we'd get all these Red Sox tickets, right? We'd go to Hartford Whaler games, hockey before they became, I think, South Carolina or something. And we'd go to a ton of Red Sox games. And, you know, obviously that's like the enemy, but just love going to Fenway Park. It's like such a fantastic ballpark and love going to see the Red Sox. And one time my dad and I, we usually go by ourselves. But then we brought the whole family. Rose, it was mom and my two sisters. And then, you know, we're at the Red Sox game, as we do. There's a foul ball that is, you know, goes up behind us. My dad just kind of instinctively, like, turns around. And we're all just, like, kind of like, whatever. We're kids. It hits the upper, like, you know, level. Mm-hmm. Careens down. My dad catches it in his hand. It pops out of his hand. He jumps up. He's probably, like, in his late 50s.
Yeah.
Because we're on the edge. He jumps over, like, the guardrail. Yeah. It's not called a guardrail. Whatever, the rail. Dives. And now, there's all these kids. There's everyone around. Like, you know how everyone just clamoring. Goes on a... Yeah. Dives. Grabs the ball. He rips his leg up, rips his arm, tosses the ball to me. I catch it and just hold it up, like screaming, like, it was probably like the greatest moment of my youth. Aww. And then Dad just disappears. And we're like, where did Dad go? Whatever. Maybe
he had
two,
to go to the first base.
Maybe like two innings go by and we're like, where's Dad? You know, because like I can't stop looking at this ball and I'm probably sobbing and my mom's probably being like, clean yourself up, you know? And my dad comes back like two innings later and he's got a ripped shirt and whatever. I go, Dad, are you okay? Where did you go? He's like, I was so embarrassed that I dove in front of children to get this ball. He goes, I've never gotten a foul ball. Oh, no. And he's like, I was mortified. I was absolutely mortified that he like hung out in the men's bathroom for like two innings. And then he came back and like people had forgotten it back by then. And we have the ball on the, on our mantle forever. Aww. And that will be my ball at one point in my life. but yeah, it was that feeling. Yeah. I mean, I can't even imagine what it's like to actually, like, on your own catch it.
Yeah. Like, I got picked up and held up, and I had my glove and caught it.
That's so awesome. Yeah. Those are, like, iconic moments in your life.
My sister was like, whatever. Like,
she didn't care. That's so awesome. Yeah. I'll never forget that moment. And then a couple months ago, I came close. A ball careened off the top. I did a sweet, sweet spin, and it hit off my index finger, middle finger, my left hand. That's how close it was. And everyone's like, oh, you must have been so disappointed. I was like, it was thrilling.
I touched it.
I was like, I got so close. I got real, real close. Like, it was just like the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
That's so cool that San Antonio has What does it get? The scorpions and the
missions.
The missions.
Yeah, and our mascot is the Puffy Taco, Henry the Puffy Taco.
No,
and he runs the bases and does all the like. You go down there and you like beat the crap out of him.
What?
Yeah, like kids do this thing. Like the kids go down and like you. There's like races and you know three-legged races and whatever thing they're doing during.
Yeah, yeah.
You know when there's a break and then he'll like the kids will beat him in the race and then they'll just start like beating him up and he's just like oh no
the puffy taco.
Like gets taken down and the kids are like ah and then they pull him off and that's
oh
it.
My god that's so
awesome.
Great that yeah. There's a puffy taco
yeah, it's just
I tell you when you touch down in Texas it's just the taco eating starts and it just doesn't end
yeah.
Like anything is shoved in a taco shell mm-hmm. It's the greatest thing ever
I probably have eaten tacos for the majority of like every meal since I've started like since I was like 17 and started
yeah.
Like went out on my own. Like
yeah.
I just eat tacos.
It's just like you're like your concept of a taco growing up like in New England is
yeah.
Just like something maybe
like
once every 5 years.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
Something gross, whatever. Then you start like coming to Austin. And I think California too, LA, like mm-hmm. There's phenomenal Mexican food.
Yeah.
But the taco, like what I just also love is like the breakfast taco.
Oh,
like people
gosh.
Are just like, you know what's better than eggs? Shove it in a taco.
Yeah. I went to Las Cazuelas, which is a 24/7 Mexican restaurant on the east side last night at this morning at 3 a.m. and sat down and I ordered, you know, just tacos for everybody because we were all meeting up.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I ordered like 10 tacos and then I tried to order Migas tacos, which is like eggs and pico de gallo and tortilla chips and cheese.
Oh, my God.
It's the greatest thing
that
in the world.
Like I'm so hungry
it's
right now.
It's my favorite food. And but she misheard me and I got an entire plate.
No.
Amigas with like home fries and Spanish rice and like refried beans.
Grande.
And she handed it to me and I was like, oh, bonus. Like,
that's
so
awesome.
Great.
Oh, God, tacos. Tacos and sports. I don't know how it gets
yeah.
any better. Another reason why I absolutely appreciate San Antonio is Miss Becky Hammon now will be on the San Antonio
yep.
Spurs. Are
yeah.
people talking about that in San
yes.
Antonio?
Everyone's
what
like,
have you heard, Avery?
That, you know, when the announcement was made, everyone was like, oh, my God. And, like, all these diehard fans are like, this is why we're the greatest franchise of all time. Like, we're breaking the glass ceiling. You don't even, like, you can't hold a candle to us. Like, all
oh, my,
of my
God,
friends,
that's awesome.
Like, all of my, like macho
yeah.
dude friends who
yeah.
usually be like, but yeah. once the Spurs do it, they're like, nope, yep, great decision. Mm-hmm, yeah, way to go, Pop. Way to go. Like, yeah.
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Because the WNBA, like, we're in full – a shout-out to the WNBA. We're in full playoff mode. I'm taping the games all weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago is playing Indiana. These are two of my favorite teams. And Phoenix is playing Minnesota. But San Antonio, they made the playoffs. They just mm-hmm. got booted out. But I went to the Spark San Antonio game to see Becky Hammon play because she was a Liberty. She was on the Liberty when I was in New York. And I went to see, like, I have, like, a bobblehead doll. Listeners
yeah.
know I say this probably every week. So I've been obsessed with Becky Hammon for so long. And she's just been really slowed down the last couple of years with, like, some knee injuries and stuff. And I didn't even know, like, she was on – like helping, you know, in the off season with San
yeah.
Antonio. Like, that's so cool.
Yeah. And they love her and Pop loves her. And, you know,
yeah.
if you get co-signed by Greg Popovich.
Oh, forget
like,
it.
Forget about it.
Him and Belle Belichick are like the funniest TV energies of all time.
They're so good. I always do this impression of Pop. Like 2 or 3 years ago, he gave this interview and his answers were like, yes, no, yes, no. Okay, thanks.
So
like,
great.
Not even making eye contact with
yeah.
her, just like
yeah.
staring up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No. Yeah. All right. Thanks. Just walked away. And the lady's like, well okay.
All right, but we got a lot out of Pop tonight.
Yeah.
And
we saw him smile.
And the Silver Stars, I do believe that's what they're called.
Yeah.
They play in the Alamo Dome, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the big old Spurs
yeah, well, we
dome.
Have the SBC Center or the AT&T
oh, okay.
Center.
That's what it's called now?
That's what it's called now.
But it was the Alamo Dome?
Well, no.
Did I just make that up?
There are two. It was the Alamo Dome. There are two stadiums now. Oh. The Alamo Dome is the forgotten.
Oh, it's still there, but no one plays in it.
Yeah.
Sort of like the Forum, but now it's been renovated.
Yeah. There, it's like a concert venue now.
Oh, okay.
And Monster Jam and like.
Oh, Monster Jam. Is that like the Monster Cars?
Yeah, Monster Trucks.
That sort of falls into sports.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to a Monster Jam?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Please tell me about it immediately.
It's deafening and it's really fun. And I love the Gravedigger when
What's
I was a kid.
The Gravedigger?
It's like a hearse where it looks like an old hearse.
No.
It's like a monster truck.
No.
Like a PT Cruiser or something. It's got what? That weird shape.
Yeah.
And it's painted with like green and, you know, purple flames. And they always crash it and, you know, mess it up.
Oh my God.
And then it comes back.
It comes back?
It always comes back. It's the grave digger.
Wait. So there's like a. So they, what are the, it, I've, you know, I've, you know, I've
you
loved
know
to go, but they fill the whole thing with dirt, right?
Yeah.
The
they
ground
fill with
floor.
Dirt, and then they build like, it's like a motocross track or something with the hills.
Is this like a big Texas thing? Is this popular in Texas?
And then like school buses or like a bunch of beat up cars
God.
And then just, and like everyone has in earplugs. And like when you would go when you were a kid, like you have those deafening earphones.
Oh, so
things.
You mean like it's truly deafening.
It's truly deafening.
Because,
you cannot.
Because what are they pumping out? Just.
I don't
engine
even,
noises or something crazy?
Just revving the engine is so deafening in the stadium that it's reverberating off of all the concrete and everything. That it's, if you go without earplugs, you are
not going to
hear for a few weeks and maybe lose a frequency or two.
Holy crap.
Yeah, but it's
so fun. You see
so
clips on those.
Fun.
But all right, so what's the best thing about it?
Like the commercials, you know, like it's the Gravedigger and like kids' seats are just $5. And you go, and when you're a kid, all the kids love the Gravedigger. And there's like Big Tex and like all these other trucks. And they come out and it's almost like wrestling. Like there's a rivalry.
They're
like, boo, nice. Big Tex. Like, oh, the Gravedigger. And then it comes out and like, you know, the lights dim and the smoke. And,
oh, my God. It's such
so
a production.
Good.
So there's like competing cars.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I'm sure there are.
But like your dad, that's like another dad trip. Like
it is another dad
go
trip.
Go with your dad and watch Monster Jam.
I like that you got like really roped into these like, you know, or whatever, like minor league baseball, the Spurs, Monster Jam.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
You know, I wasn't a very like girly kid and I, you know, I was like a theater kid and just liked, all my friends were boys until I, you know, got into high school and.
Yeah.
You know.
Then you started dating them. Yeah. All right. So here's a question. Now you're saying you're like, you didn't play sports earlier, but now you play more sports.
Yeah. Well, I played like when, you know, my best friend Trace and I like lived out in a field, like in the middle of nowhere. So we would just play soccer all day.
Yeah.
Or, like go dig up deer bones or whatever, whatever there is to do.
You know, as you do, you dig up deer bones.
You know, you'd go out to the riverbed and dig up some deer bones.
With your river shoes, I'm going to get some deer bones.
With
so Texas. I just, like, I'm more and more fascinated by everything Texas every time I come here.
That's it. You know, your Big Red and your and your Tevas, and then you go out and find some bones or play some soccer. But, you know, like, you play, like, horse and you, like, you know, whatever. Yeah. But I remember my uncle coached a soccer team, and it was co-ed, and I was on it with my cousins, and we were called the Killer Tomatoes.
Oh, my God.
And, like, some dad would, like, bring the tape from the film, like,
no.
The attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
No.
And we would run out.
What?
But I didn't know what I was doing. Like,
this
I was
is
just,
so
like,
great. You were
around.
Part of the Killer Tomatoes.
Yeah, we're all just, like, 6 years old, like, and, like, eating orange slices while we play.
You gotta keep hydrated.
Yeah, good. You gotta.
They would play that.
Yeah, this, like, some really cool dad was like, oh, man, this is perfect. Like, I'm just going to bring my boombox and like, give the kids some entrance music.
Oh, my God. That's awesome.
Yeah. And my, you know, my family, like my cousins and my brother, like all really big sports people.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
My brother didn't play sports. Now he's like, he plays basketball every single day. But my cousins played football and soccer.
And it's like ingrained, right? Like when you're a little kid, it's like the boys just, I wish
I played
more. Yeah,
it's like that Pop Warner.
Yeah,
like
it's just
you
ingrained.
Start when you're a kid. Like those, you know.
Are any girls playing football at that age?
I had a friend named Lacey who did in fourth grade. She was playing football.
I wish I had played football.
And she was tough. Lacey was yeah. tough.
Lacey's out, Lacey.
Yeah.
She was sounded great. Like a creepy voice, but I was just quoting a stupid movie. Lacey's out, Lacey. I've got a van. Okay, stop it. Yeah, it just, I have to say, you know, like you always hear about, like, you know, Texas football and how everyone, you know, takes it obviously extremely seriously. Mm-hmm. But to me, watching a lot of pro football and just like watching the Cowboys, and the Cowboys to me feels so sensationalized, and Jerry Jones and money and this big stadium, and it just feels, I don't know, not as authentic as like the high school and college Texas football. Am I right in saying that? Yeah.
And it's also, you know, there's a history of winning when it comes to like high school football and college football in Texas.
Yeah.
Like the Cowboys are such like a source of, you know, disappointment.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, you had always heydays,
you had your heyday, but like oftentimes you're just brokenhearted.
Yeah.
You know, like not me so much. Like I love them, but you know, it's just because
Your family grew up
trained
in,
But you know, my dad and my brother, like, you know, hugging and like look like they're about to cry every time.
It's a good, it's a good sweet family bonding.
It is. It is. But I mean, we're in Texas, like high school football, like those like 4A schools or, you know, even the smaller ones, like that's what it's about. And
is
those
it
kids
year
are
round?
Born and bred. Oh yeah. Like training camp starts, like the kids don't stop.
Wow.
Like, and it's, you know, the dead of summer and it gets like 110, 112 here.
Yeah.
And kids are outside like passing out of heat stroke and like, you know, just because they never stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why they're so good.
Yeah.
But it just feels like, you know, when you think about it, like you get these kids, right, that are just, you know, 13, 14, 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I say this, and this is going to transition into this college comment, but it just feels like they're under so much pressure, right?
Well, even younger than that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah,
of
course.
Yeah, like
the little Pop Warner leagues, like you start when you're 7, and it's serious. Like, it's not fun. Like, you're not.
Yeah, right?
Like, I mean, they're having fun, but it's not, like.
It's so
everybody,
intense.
Everybody, it's all right. We're all winners. It's
not
like,
in Texas.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
No, you better win.
It's sort of like you have to do really well in the Pop Warner to get into like a good middle school team,
trainer, to get into to make it on the high school team. Yeah.
Yeah. And I do think that's one of the reasons why college football, I think it's going to get better, a little bit better this year, because it's like, you know, the new playoff system and stuff. But what's inconceivable to think about is like these kids, like you can't lose ever. Like in the pros, 8-8, you could almost do a wild card, an 8-8, or like, you know, 9-7 or whatever.
Yeah.
But if you literally lose in week one or week two or the last week, like you're out. You're out of everything. It's so intense.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy to me. Like it seems like inconceivable.
Yeah. High school football games here are just nuts. Like,
yeah. Sellout and crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. And my cousin
What high school did you do? You obviously went to high school in San Antonio.
Yeah, I went to MacArthur.
Like that?
Okay. And I think that's... Oh, I don't know where Mac Blake went, the guy you were talking to earlier. I think he went to Churchill or something, but those were rival schools.
Okay.
He might have gone to Mac. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that was a big football school. It was the Bremas. And,
the what are they?
The Bremas.
What's a Brema?
It's a cow.
Oh.
Or a bull.
Oh.
A Brema bull.
A Brema bull.
With a big hump on the back.
Oh.
Yeah. And they're like
so
gray
you were the
and
Bremas.
Floppy.
That's tough. You need... I'm always arguing, you need a tough mascot.
Yeah.
The Bremas.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was intimidating. But like,
And so that was part of the culture for you growing up. It's like high school football game Friday nights, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my two cousins who, you know, we were very close to and like lived in neighborhoods across a street from each other our whole lives. And then they were musicians, so they played in band.
Yeah.
But they'd been football kids and, you know, football players and soccer players before. But they both, it's an older brother and a younger brother who are almost identical, but they're like years and years apart.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was, you know, my aunt and uncle ran the concession stand at the football games. And I was like 8 and I would go help out and like sell hot dogs.
Yeah.
And like watch my cousin Keegan play.
Like, so great.
You know, play the tuba or like whatever he was playing. And then, you know, my cousin Kyle was a trombone player. And so the only reason I would go when I was in high school was to watch my cousin play and then like go smoke weed or something.
Sweet.
Like there was no like, you know, I wasn't going to watch.
Yeah. But
football.
It must have been like the biggest social thing
like,
to do.
Dude, what's up? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to the game. Yeah.
I kind of wish I grew up in a culture where it was like Friday Night Lights culture, because our football team, our high school football, again, it was just like, ah, you know, like they were playing, they're pretty decent, but it was like Saturday mornings and no one really, like, you know, it was just soccer was the big thing and that was like kind of glorified, but it would be kind of fun to like, you know, be raised, because I'm just so obsessed with football that like to be like around that like excitement, albeit like intense pressure.
Well, like the smaller towns are even more so, like those kids are celebrities, like they're legends, and, you know,
like the Riggins brothers,
the entire town revolves around that school and that team. But I mean, in San Antonio, there's like 30 high schools.
Right. Not, I was to say, of course,
it's
small town Texas. Yeah.
But small town Texas is like crazy.
It's like Greece, but they're playing football.
Yeah.
That was a good analogy. All right. We got to wrap things up. Here's, I'm trying to think of what else that I wrote down that I wanted to cover. We covered a lot. Give me your best prediction before we get to the feel-good moment of the week, which I didn't even probably explain to you. Give me your best prediction for the upcoming Spurs season and the upcoming Cowboys season.
Okay, Cowboys, hope they win. Don't know. I don't know what's going on. Football, right? You know. It's like, if we can do it, we can do it.
Yes, I like, you would be a really good motivational speaker
for
the
Cowboys. Eye on the prize. We're going to need to throw the ball. We're going to need to pass the ball.
Yes.
We're going to need to catch the ball.
Yes, good.
And make some touchdowns.
Good, Avery. I like this. I like this.
We're going to need to be positive.
Okay. I love it. That's it's really good.
Cowboys.
And the Spurs, what do you think about the
Spurs
next year?
Spurs. I have some. I think Kawhi's going to the top, and he has the greatest shoulders in the NBA, and he's a superstar.
He's a superstar.
And Patty is a superstar.
I'm really excited to see that kid play next year.
Oh, my goodness. Patty Mills.
Patty Mills. He's like a lightning rod.
He just.
Yeah. He lit it up.
Elegant. But kind of floppy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, Kawhi, to me, he's like a young Manu Ginobili almost. Like, you know, he has his moments, like, in where you're like, how did he fucking do that?
Yeah.
And then he has those games where you're like, what?
Yeah.
Like, you know.
And that was 2013.
Like, people hated Manu for a while. They're like, you know, but I have a statue of him in my house. Like,
you love him so much. Yeah.
But I'm just really, really excited about our bench. Like, we have. You know,
killer bench.
It's just going to be a really great season.
You guys are
going to
do
great season.
Have another good year.
I think we have a chance to go back. So
back to back.
Yeah.
There you have it from Avery Moore. Back to back. We always end with the feel good moment of the week. And this week, you know, nothing like, you know, crazy, like, you know, all kinds of sports happening. So this was kind of an interesting feel good moment of the week because it's kind of. It's a little bit random. Well, it's not random. Here's the reason why I'm giving the feel-good moment of the week to the commissioner of the NFL, Roger Goodell, who I've been crapping on for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure you're familiar with the Ray Rice situation.
Uh-huh.
His absolute disgusting, you know, I'm not even talking about the Ray Rice himself. That's whatever. But Goodell came down and it was a 2-game suspension. And I've been talking about it for weeks. It was a horrible call on his end.
Yeah.
And he just kind of stood by it. And he's like, that's a policy. And, you know, there's no priors. And that's what we're doing. And he was like really kind of smug and confident about it.
Yeah.
And you have Josh Gordon, who just got literally he cannot play the entire season because he has like a weed offense.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so a couple days ago, Roger Goodell, and you can read, you know, there's length his entire, it was probably like maybe 2 pages on ESPN.com of like what the NFL, now he's changed his policies on not only it says domestic abuse, but assault. And this goes of any kind. And it goes like 5 paragraphs of like, this is the first step we're going to take. This is the second step we're going to take. But in a nutshell, they're doing outreach. They're doing support groups. They're talking to the guys more. They're putting all this stuff in place. And he came out and he's like, I got the call wrong. You know, I thought I got that. I didn't get it right. And like just basically apologized. And now the new – it's 6 games automatically if there's anything assault, domestic – or it's also case by case. So it could be more. It could be more if you had something in high school or college.
Mm-hmm.
And also your second offense is banishment from the NFL. Which is so great. It's such like such a harsh tone.
Yeah.
And a
like
right
zero
tone.
Tolerance.
Yeah. Zero tolerance. That's awesome. That's so fantastic. And I think it takes, you know, these guys, their egos are insane, right? They're commissioners of the, you know, there's nothing huger in America than the NFL.
Yeah.
You cannot be an NFL fan, but it is the number one sport in the country. He's got like insane amount of power. Mm-hmm. And for him to be like, listen, I got this call wrong. Cause he's like, fairly new commissioner.
Yeah.
And we're going to change it. And this is what we're going to do. And I thought that was spoke volumes.
Yeah.
And that is why I gave him the feel good moment of the week.
That's wonderful.
So that's our feel good moment of the week. Roger Goodell, way to step up to the plate.
Way to go, bud.
And impose some really harsh penalties, because there's nothing worse than domestic violence, an assault of anyone. But essentially, as a woman, obviously, we feel very, very, very particular about this. So that's it. That's a feel-good moment of the week. You are a delight.
Yeah.
Where can people find you, because they need to see your stand-up comedy?
In Austin?
Yeah.
I run a weekly show at the Velveeta Room, which is a comedy club on Dirty Six.
Nice.
Downtown, every Friday at 11. And I'm here at Cap City all the time.
Fantastic. And websites and writing and where can they find you online?
I've got Twitter. It's at Avery Reed Moore, R-E-E-D. Same for Tumblr.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Go find her. Look her up. If you're in Austin, go see her perform. Oh. And if you're in the world, look her up, because she's super fantastic. Thanks so much for coming on and talking us through some wonderful Texas sports, because it's really
you're
fun to get like a local's perspective.
Yeah.
You're the best. Sports Without Balls fans, have the best week of your life.